Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
7-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen. Man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, being very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
Sometimes you have to build up a player more often than others, correct? You have to have more conversations with them. You have to be more encouraging. You have to create more excitement on the average plays at times to get them going mentally and to build a bridge for them to be more productive. And you're seeing that with Stevenson.
It felt good because last week just showed me I need to hone in on the small details and stay consistent at everything that I do.
Geno Smith going to run for it. He's picked again. Tyreek Stevenson.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to talk ball with Matt Bowen. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, as always, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. News out of Hallis Hall today. Kyler Gordon says that he is back. No pump fakes. He will play Monday night for the Bears against the Commanders. What does a player like him, what is he capable of doing in a defense like Dennis Allen's?
Well, you have to have a slot corner. It's one of the most important positions in football today, Lawrence. Someone who can cut off the ball in the run game, match and carry inside, pressure, tackle in space, and also play man coverage in third and short. You have to have that player in your defense, and especially someone like Gordon, who has the transition speed, is physical in coverage, and physical at the point of attack. It improves your defense dramatically when he's in the football field. And going against Washington, I wouldn't be surprised if he's matched up versus Deebo Samuel on third down.
Woo, boy. That just got the football brain going. Deebo's a beast, isn't he, Matt? Like that, his hands are so crazy strong. He can do anything fundamentally he needs to do. He's a great player.
Yeah, and he can play through contact. That's the most important thing. Similar to an A.J. Brown, someone that can play through press coverage, win at the top of the route stem because they are so physical and create separation that way. You don't have to be, you know, a Keenan Allen, a super detailed route runner when you have those physical tools that Deebo Samuel has when you watch him on tape. More importantly, in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, he is that motion movement player. That's a term I use for someone who obviously can win within the route tree, but also on fly sweeps, screens, backfield alignments, manufactured touches for him. So that's someone they really have to account for Monday night.
When you're looking around the league, Matt, do you see the nickel being as important as you're describing? Are there more teams playing just two linebackers in their base and letting that nickel just run?
That's what I would do. If you have a physical slot corner, speed, because if you do get a lot of 12 personnel, two tight ends, someone who can flex outside, you need to have that physicality to match up versus a tight end in space. And if you have that, I love being in sub-package. I think it's the best thing to be in right now because it allows you to disguise more, too. When you have multiple defensive backs in the field who are versatile, that can drop to a hook curl, that can match and carry, that can drop to a deep half if they need to be with an invert cover two look, it gives you more opportunity to change the picture post-snap.
What, Matt, what does the tape say that Jaden Daniels is now in year two? And I get that he was hurt for a couple of weeks,
right.
but what are you seeing so far from him that either proves that last year wasn't a fluke or proves some involvement by him as a quarterback?
Right. I still think he has excellent poise in the pocket. That's the thing you saw at LSU. You saw it in his first year in the league, and you're seeing it again this year. Well, Jaden Daniels can make plays out of structure. He can carry the ball and design concepts as a runner. More importantly, he can throw from the pocket. He plays with excellent poise in the pocket. I love his pocket movement. I think that has really separated him and that rookie class of quarterbacks because of how advanced he is as a thrower, how advanced his eyes are. And obviously, you mentioned the injury. You know, that's part of football, but he's back, and you're not going to really look at his first game back against a tough Chargers defense and deal in absolutes. You look at the total picture of what he is, and that's a challenge for Dennis Allen, this defense, because he can beat you so many different ways.
God, that's the first time I've thought about the Jaden or Caleb thing in a while. Maybe because all the baseball's been going on, and just here we are. It's game week now. It's Tuesday of a game on Monday. And if you had to answer, if Jaden had Shane Waldron in that mess last year and had Ben Johnson and this force feeding this year, you know, who's ahead of who at this point?
That's a great question. It's hard to speculate on that, but he wouldn't be at the same level, I don't think. You know, coaching matters. We've talked about that all season, guys. It matters a lot. And look at the stability Dan Quinn brought to Washington last year. What he did with that football team, I think they overachieved. It's not that they don't have talent, but they won games in the playoffs. And they played really good football with a young quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury matters there as well. So you look at the coaching he got in Washington, he landed in a great situation, a great opportunity, where Caleb did not. And now Caleb is trying to press time and make up for lost time of last year. Not that he didn't learn last year. I'm not saying that at all. But he didn't learn to the degree and have the success that Jaden Daniels did as a rookie. So he's trying to catch up to where Daniels is at right now.
What do you think of the change that was made at left tackle?
I think it had to be done. I mean, remember when we talked earlier in the season, I said Braxton Jones was a league average starter. I still agree with that. I don't think it's good enough. I simply don't. Because right now, it's one thing to talk about pass protection. It's another thing to talk about the run game. Right now, the Bears' run game, they got to find the run game. DeAndre Swift is averaging 3.3 yards per carry. That's simply not good enough, guys. We know that. And you talk about balance in Ben Johnson's offense. Right now, there is no balance. If you're not efficient running the football, you can't create tempo to the run game. I think DeAndre Swift only has 5 carries of 10 or more yards. They're not explosive on the ground. That has to change. So if you think a change to left tackle can boost your run game, you got to do it. And especially now is the right time over a bye week when you can get more reps and get ready for a football game.
Okay, so if you're Washington, you look out there and you go, oh, it's Theo Benedict. He's playing left tackle for the Bears. How would you expect that they will try to attack him?
I think they'll try to get linebackers on him in pass rush situations. Look at Dan Quinn's defense, what they do. A lot of loaded fronts, a lot of movement at the second level. A guy like Frankie Louvel at linebacker who can match up versus guards and tackles as a pass rusher. I think you'll see some of that to try to get him in space and force him to redirect versus a smaller athlete at the point of attack. And that's what I would do to him as well.
You got me thinking about this run game and how different it could conceivably look coming out of the bye. I got a lot of respect for Ben Johnson and the offensive staff in terms of being able to do a lot of different things. Like, we've seen it. We've seen a lot under center. We've seen a lot of shotgun. We've seen two backs. We've seen the H-back back there. We've seen a lot of different stuff. So I wonder what they will choose kind of schematically or with usage and personnel. I wonder what they think works the best so far and what we're going to see, Matt.
It's a great question, and I'm excited to see it coming out of the bye week. You know, Ben Johnson and the staff have been in office for 2 weeks. Right, if you count last week and this game week coming up. So what is the new install? That's what you're always looking for. What is the new install? Is there, to your point, Speaks, a way to create run game production with different personnel, different alignment on the field? Or do they just get back to the basics and say, we have to run, you know, outside zone or wide zone. We have to do it better. It could be as simple as that. What can we do to make that play go? That is a core foundational run concept under Ben Johnson. What can we do as a coaching staff, whether it's you know, working out of 12, working out of 11 personnel, working out of trips, working out of stack motion, whatever it may be. How do we make this play go? And that's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, you know, because it might just be that with the new left tackle, you're like, we could just actually do the things what we thought we were going to do.
Right.
And let's try and do them. He's not going to give up on it, Matt, though. I loved at the end of that Raiders game, he kept running. And they they succeeded in the red zone running, even though it really hadn't worked much during the game.
No, and you have to. You can't. I mean, it's hard, Speaks, at any level. Just say, well, let's just drop back and throw the ball 65 times. You know, and I played for Coach Spurrier in Washington. We tried that multiple times. It did not work. But, you know, when you think about football, right, and everyone always says it's a passing league, I agree with that. But you look around the league and how much balance there really is and how important the run game is to build into your pass game. You got to have a sense of a run game. And also late in a football game, that's how you wear a defense down. You don't wear a defense down throwing seam routes. I'll tell you that right now. You do not. You're giving them a break. You wear them down by running the football right at them and moving them off the line of scrimmage. The Bears have to be better.
This may be recency bias, but you're someone who played special teams. I feel like every week I'm seeing a spectacular special teams play. Is something going on that that us regular humans are missing out on?
No, I think, well, the change to the kickoff rule is great for football because now we have returns again. The last couple of years, I mean, that you don't even need to watch that play, right? They just kick it out of the end zone to go on, play offense. But now there's actual returns. And obviously it's different because of the alignment and how it's different from the college and high school level. Now, we understand that, but you're getting a play there. You're getting a chance for an exciting play. You're also furthering the career for special teams guys because they're much more important now because they have to tackle on kickoff. But what the thing that looks negative right now, Lawrence, is the blocks. You know, the block field goals, the block punts. And there could be multiple reasons for that. If I had to speculate on that, is again to what we've talked about before, lack of training camp time, lack of special team sessions, lack of live special team sessions. I mean, if you want to practice punt protection, you have to go live. You can't go through at a walkthrough. It doesn't work. You're wasting your time. You have to go live in full pads and tell your punter, watch out, because we're coming after you in practice, but we have to do this to get ready for a football game.
I got to tell you, as a viewer and a consumer, I love all the blocks. It's fun as hell. And especially maybe because with the new kicker footballs, like everybody's good from 55, you know? So
I was just talking about that the other day, Speed. It's like when I played, the line was going to 30. If you're playing defense, if you can hold them, you know, to the 35, 38, they're probably going to punt. It's not even close now. It's not even close. You got to understand, when I played, okay, so this used to bother me a little bit. So at training camp at night, you had 2 days during the day. You had a lifting session. You just wanted to go to bed. And you had meetings at night till like 11 o'clock. Well, the kickers would go to the golf range. They go to the movies, you know, and that's just, they come back from the movies. Like, it was nothing. But I think the training has, you know, the modern athlete is so different than when I played. So different than when I played. That the leg drive of these kickers, the athleticism of these kickers, the absolute foundational core power they have in their bodies is so different right now that the line you have to protect on defense is really the 40 or 42. That's hard to do. It's really hard to do.
I would love to know what some of the movies the kickers went to go see.
Look, we have access to someone who did this with Manley.
Manley,
Maynard, and Gold. They'd be gone.
Maynard and Gold.
Like, you'd see other guys around campus, and those three dudes would be at I think it's Bon Vivant. Yeah. I think that's the golf course in Bourbonnais.
Well, what years are we talking? Yeah. I want to check the movies. Like, you know, they come back, and they're like, oh, man, saw this new movie. It was really good. Year?
And they say that, like, I was in the defensive back meeting for 2 hours.
So, Matt, before we let you go, you played in Washington. You brought up your years with Spurrier. What's it like for you to see Washington football being spoken about with, like, a hopeful tone?
It reminds me of when Coach Gibbs came back. When Joe Gibbs came back to coach us and that would be, what, 2004, he came back with Greg Williams or D.C. Everything changed. Just the discipline of the entire building changed because you had an absolute leader in there. And I think Joe Gibbs is one of the greatest football coaches ever, considering what he did in Washington winning three different Super Bowls with three different starting quarterbacks. Very hard to do. But just the way he was as a teacher and a coach and a disciplinarian, it reminds me of that when you have a leader. And I've said before, you have an owner, you have a general manager. The head coach, in my opinion, needs to be the most important person in that building. It has to be that way. I think you have that in Washington right now with Dan Quinn.
Matt, as always, we appreciate you. Have fun on the practice field.
So if I told you, Matt, that Brett Conway and Brian Barker on the 2002 Washington team went to go see My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
They probably did.
Yeah.
And I was in there getting yelled at by, you know, D.C. Yeah, it was awesome.
See like, you, Matt.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding is great. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
That's Matt Boy.
Wait a minute. Wait, Greg Williams doesn't appreciate a good comedy like that? Is that what we're saying here?
No, he does not.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, oh, Mr. Deeds is playing. Let me go on. Oh, Punch Drunk Love. Oh, it's a thinker. I don't know if Brian Barker would like that one.
I will say that there was a team event where we all went and watched Wedding Crashers.
Oh, okay.
So I think they rented out like the Kankakee movie theater, and they were like, do you guys want to go to the movies too? And we were like, yeah. Yeah.
All right, the whole team. So the whole team, I can see.
But yeah, you can. We can ask Manly.
Well, I was going to text Pat during that segment, but also I was asking now. I was like, oh, we're going to have Pat because we'll just ask him on the air. I almost don't want to know. But like, so like the number one box office movies from Pat Manley's career. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go back. 1998.
Categories.
Titanic. Yeah.
Titanic.
99. Star Wars.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay.
Phantom Menace.
So imagining like Pat and Maynard and Gold hanging out, like having
dressed up as Darth Maul.
2000, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's late November. Late November, he's at the Grinch while everybody else is watching film.
2001, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
I mean, I've always heard about, like, the resentment of special teams guys regarding golf, like you're saying. But going out to the movies at night is, man, I love
they'd
it.
They'd be, go- keep going. Keep going, Tay. This is a great list.
2002, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
2003, Finding Nemo.
Oh, man. That's adorable. I'm sure that Robbie Gold loved that one. You know?
2004, Shrek 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
2005, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. 2006, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Third best Star Wars movie, in my opinion.
Revenge of the Sith?
Mm-hmm. That last hour redeems the whole trilogy.
Let me ask you a question. As a kid, I was furious at the end of The Empire Strikes Back. Like, I was furious. I didn't know.
No, spoiler alert.
Well, that's the thing. It was like, talk about a cliffhanger.
Dude.
They're just like, you're going to go see the next one, and we're going to make another one.
That's.
F you, kid.
I'll never, like, this is adult. This happened, 7 years ago? The end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Because, you know, I had grown up reading all this stuff, so, like, sure. The Infinity Gauntlet stuff was, like, one of my favorite. And seeing people's faces at the end of Infinity War, where they're like, wait, like, so they lost? Or, like, what do you mean?
Spoiler alert.
Like, they lost? How long do I have to wait for the next movie? Over a year? What? Yeah. And just seeing, like, how sad people were. And then walking out and be like, Thanos won?
Oh, man.
What?
Yeah. That's rough. That stuff leaves a mark, man. You mentioned Star Wars, the whole franchise. I still get angry at the end because of the end of it.
Really?
Empire. Yeah, man. Pissed me off. Hurt my little movie heart.
All right, so wait, Tanny, we got more? Go ahead.
No, but why are we so, like, why do we care so much about what movies athletes are seeing? Because I remember when we had Tom Dore on one time during the pandemic, he told a great story about it. Yeah, we were in Utah back in 1995, and Michael Jordan wanted to go see Casino at a movie theater in Salt Lake City.
That's because he thought it was an actual casino.
You're probably right, yeah.
They got a casino in a movie theater? That sounds comfortable.
That sounds great. Let's go drop $1 million there, uh-huh. And then drop 45 on the Jazz.
Let me cut off my finger with a cigar cutter, and let me go ahead
and let me get some bad pizza. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk baseball playoffs with Steve Stone.
This is your idea and a damn good one.
Yeah, I've been like, man, we're missing Stoney a little bit. So let's talk with Stoney about what's going on with the Cubs, what's going on with baseball overall, and Andrew Vaughn next here on the school.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Broken bat. Runner coming home. It's left. And that's ball game. On a night that started with Mark Burley's statue unveiling, the Sox get some magic in the 11th and walk it off.
Allard had a shot. I don't think that the Sox would have scored had he fielded the baseball, but he didn't. And when it got by, that was it.
Cy Young Award winner.
Turned out to be an exciting game. Unfortunately, didn't end the way the Sox would want it. So you have a week left. This is my final game. It's been one of those years where you'd like it to have worked out a little bit different, but we saw some light. Some light at the end of the tunnel, some good young players, and give them a great week. Finish with a rush, and I will talk to you over the winter.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
Steve Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We were sitting around as a show and be like, man, you know, we should really talk to someone that could do some big picture baseball stuff as the playoffs are going on and be like, wait, we all know Steve Stone. We should just call Steve Stone.
As the starters around MLB are going 2 innings, 3 innings, certain ones are going 5 yeah. or 6. We thought we'd ask one of the best pitchers we know in our baseball midst.
Steve Stone joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Stoney, how are you?
Everything is just fine. The winter is starting off pretty good. I'm watching a little bit of the playoffs. The weather's gorgeous here in Arizona, so I think everything is moving along swimmingly.
So we've been having this discussion as people who don't pitch or never pitched, at least at the professional level, about how the managerial choices in the playoffs change. You love this game and you love pitching. What's it like for you to watch some of these moments where you go, all right, they're just going to shorten the game and ask a starter or an opener to just get 12 outs versus maybe that person trying to get 18?
Well, I think if I could rush Milwaukee's bullpen up there, like Pat Murphy's able to do, that's maybe not necessarily a bad idea. Excuse me. He he handled it pretty well. I think maybe that is what baseball is going to be. But one of the things that I would do, and this is a suggestion because obviously I don't run any baseball teams, nor do I give advice to any of them. But one of the things that I was thinking as the year went along and I saw some pretty good pitchers going shorter and shorter, the occasional guy like Skubal would go a little deeper into the game, but most guys don't. One of the things that I would implore some of the more thoughtful organizations to do is start to look for some of the guys from a different era of baseball, maybe a couple of generations back, guys that threw anywhere from 250 to 300 innings. And I would get a few of them and sit them in a room, and I would sit down and say, okay, how did you do this? How did you get your body? How'd you get your mind? How'd you get your arm in shape to go from between 250 and 300 innings? Because now you can't even get guys to go 200 innings. So if you want to save bullpens, you allow your starter to go a little deeper in the game, then your bullpen doesn't get quite as worn away as the year moves along. And I think that would be a good thing. Guys today are bigger, stronger, faster, and quicker than ever, and yet they're going shorter as far as their starts are concerned than maybe ever before. I would like to find out exactly why. And it's not just a question of guys throw harder, because you know guys threw pretty hard in another era also. I think the guns might be a little juicier these days, so everybody is throwing 98 to 102. But there were some guys who threw awfully hard a couple generations ago, and yet they were able to start anywhere from 32 to 37 times. They were able to go deeper in games, and consequently, you could get away with a shorter bullpen, a longer bench, more moves in the game that you have to move, because the shorter the bullpen, the longer the bench. You'd like to see your manager have some moves later in the game that he doesn't have now when you're carrying the full complement of five starters and eight relievers, because with 13 pitchers, you obviously have a shorter bench. So there's a lot of things that you could improve upon. But if guys today are bigger, stronger, faster, and quicker than ever before, and they are because you can look at Olympic times and figure that out, then there has to be a reason why they all blow out, why they can't go as deep into games, why they get hurt a lot more and spend two or three times on the injured list during the course of a season. There has to be a reason why, and being an inquisitive sort, I would like to find out that reason.
Oh, I share your curiosity on this topic, Steve. It's fascinating to see the game evolve. I was watching the Phillies and the Dodgers in the sixth inning last night, and Blake Snell was allowed to pitch through the sixth in a scoreless game, even after he walked Trey Turner, he walked Kyle Schwarber, he got Bryce Harper, but then he was allowed to pitch to the righty Alec Bohm, too, and he got out of that inning in the sixth. And I'm thinking, all right, what makes him different? What is it like? Do you have any sense as you watch this stuff why some pitchers are trusted to go a little deeper and some are not? What's the difference?
Well, certainly the quality of the pitcher has something to do with it. But let's go back to one of the reasons why things started to shorten up. That was the philosophy of driveline out of Washington, where if you remember, everybody started to throw high four-seam fastballs because driveline's philosophy was throw every pitch as hard as you can. There's a problem with that. The avocation is called pitching. It's not called throwing. And also, if you throw every pitch as hard as you can, you take away the idea of fooling somebody with velocity, because when a hitter knows 98 mile an hour fastball is coming out of your hand, it takes him a couple pitches to understand exactly what it's like to get the sweet spot of the bat out in front to hit the baseball if you want to pull it, to wait a little bit longer and take it the other way if you want to hit it the other way. 98 then becomes what he's looking for. Consequently, you can't fool him with velocity. And if you can't fool him with velocity, the only other way to fool him is location. So if you can't fool him with velocity and then you miss your location, he hits you pretty hard. It's nice to be able to fool him two ways, with velocity, changing speeds on everything, and also with location. Now, you remember also the driveline philosophy was every fastball should be a four-seam fastball. They should all be upstairs. Everybody had an uppercut swing, and they threw high fastballs by him as they adjusted to this, everybody throws high four-seam fastballs. And then they realized, which is something I mentioned at the time, the two-seam fastball moves much better. Always has, always will. So why did we abandon the two-seam fastball? But as you're seeing now, people are going back to the two-seam fastball again. This is a back-to-the-future game. We did that for many, many years. We did away with it, then came back to it, and this is usually what happens. But, you know, getting hitters off balance is the way to consistently get them out. Throwing one speed with everything you have means when you miss your location, then you are very much vulnerable to these guys. And so there's a lot of different philosophies about pitching, and, you know, everybody has different ones. But I'd like to see somebody get to the bottom of why years ago guys threw 300 innings and today they can't even sniff 200.
Steve Stone joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I was thinking about that and you last night, Stoney, while I'm watching Mizorowski pitch. And the reason why is he came out there and he was throwing 104. And he was getting people out at 104. And it looked like he didn't quite have command. And I remember we had a conversation a long time ago where you were talking about finger pressure and how just the difference in finger pressure can take a couple miles per hour off. And then you started to see him live at 99, 98, and he had more command. This thing that you're talking about, throwing versus pitching, is fascinating to me because that's one of those finer points of pitching that I wonder if those types of things are being discussed around major league clubhouses.
I don't really know how many people talk about whatever it is they talk about, but you know, there's some really good pitchers over the years, and we talk about Maddux all the time as being the master of using finger pressure, but that's the ability to make the ball move different ways, make it move different amounts, and basically work both sides of the plate, up, down, in, and out, which Maddux was able to do perfectly. But he was one of the best I've ever seen at different finger pressures. Guys, I don't think work enough at that these days. There's a lot of other things that, you know, here's one thing that I'll mention which drives me a little bit nuts is, let's say the catcher throws the ball to second base, and it's a skip throw, but very few people see it. First thing the infielder does is he throws the ball out of play. Wait a second. I want that ball. And I want that ball because I've worked in the bullpen with, you know, maybe by accident a ball gets scuffed and you look at it and you say, you know, hey, let me see what I can do with this one. And then slowly I started to read about all of this stuff and I found, of course, I would never do it, you know, because it's illegal.
No.
I read where if the scuff was on the left side of the ball would pull drastically to the right. If it was on the right side of the ball, it would pull drastically to the left. If it's on the top of the ball, it would sink. From the bottom of the ball, it would sail. What a tremendous advantage if you have to make one pitch and you've never shown anything that moves 6 inches, and all of a sudden you have it. Wow, that would be good. That would be a tremendous advantage. Yet I see guys throw the baseball anytime there's a slight scuff of anything. The catcher will either put his glove back and the umpire will throw it out, or the catcher just throws it out himself. I would like to introduce some of the pitchers that I would talk to the advantage of maybe by accident a ball gets scuffed. You know what happens? Guy hits a ground ball. This is really interesting. Guy hits a ground ball in the infield. They throw to first. First baseman throws to the pitcher. Pitcher has the ball. You're going to tell me that ball wasn't scuffed? And yet, the same guy will take a look at this if he's not a non-pitcher and throw the ball out. No, don't throw the ball out. Throw the ball to me. Let me take a look at it. See what I can do with this. And so, you know, look, everybody is looking for an advantage. And this is one where, look, the pitcher's not scuffing it himself, but he gets a scuffed baseball. You might as well take advantage of it. So I think there's a lot of things that you could take advantage of, and I'd like to see them do that a little bit more. And with Mizorowski, I mean, he just really fires the baseball consistently, but he doesn't have too much command. And the same thing with the Cubs.
Palencia?
Yeah, he threw one, I don't know, it was 102 or something along those lines. And Churio hit it very far. I thought it was kind of interesting that that Pete Crow Armstrong jumped at the fence. That ball was in the upper deck. He would have had to been rubber man to jump at the fence. But then he did, and he fell down. He was on the track. But that ball exploded. And again, it was a big, high fastball, and he got around on it because hitters can do that. So I'd like to see things move a bit more, and perhaps we'll get to that someday.
What did you think of Pat Murphy going with an opener and then Craig Counsell adjusting his lineup as much as he did in response to it?
I think that all's fair, and you know, if you can if you can get one side of a lineup in the game and then, you know, you move them out, then all of a sudden you have a tremendous advantage. And that's what everybody's looking for. That's what every manager is looking for in this game. And the opener, you know, when Tampa Bay first started to do it, when they became the team that popularized that, I didn't think a whole lot about it. Now I look at it, it's not necessarily a bad idea. In fact, at times I think it's a pretty good idea. But also, you know, the real good pitchers, they actually get people out in the first inning.
Hey, Stoney, did you do that reading about the scuffed balls? Was that in the Orioles bullpen that you did that reading?
Yeah. Well, you know, you never really know. Sometimes, you know, they have a special at the gas station, and they're giving us baseball literature. And hey, today let's discuss the scuffed baseball.
Yeah.
You know, so I looked at it and read it, and, you know, worked in the bullpen a little bit with it.
Gotcha.
And I was amazed at just how much that ball moved.
I was picturing Tippy or Dennis Martinez with their own personal library over there in the corner of the bullpen. You never know.
Well, you know, there's other things, too. There's a lot of my friends happen to be dentists. And as you know, dentists have these little circular, or did at least, have these little circular, almost a sandpaper-like thing that they put on the drill, and then they smooth out the rough areas around there. And I thought, and amazingly enough, one dropped into my lap, and I said, look at this, something that's flesh-colored that you might be able to actually use. And so I talked to some of my other pitchers. Of course, as you know, I would never do that.
No.
But I talked to some of my other pitchers, and I said, you know, my dentist got careless with this. If right. You'd like to give it a try.
That was Phil and Joe Necro's dentist as well, wasn't it?
Same thing. Don Sutton, as I understand it, also. Probably had pretty good dental work also. He was using that quite a bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, my God, Stoney, this has just been an absolute treat. Before we let you go, what's it like to see Andrew Vaughn succeed?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was really happy with that for a couple of different reasons. Number one, when Andrew was with the White Sox, he was always Andrew Vaughn, first-round draft pick, third player chosen overall, winner of the Golden Spikes, and, you know, destined for greatness. And there was a lot of pressure on him all the time. And number one, I really like him. I always did. Number two, I always thought that there was, I didn't think he would be a home run hitter per se, but I thought he'd be a pretty decent hitter. And I love the fact that he had the opportunity. You know, you go from a team that's going to finish way up the track like the Sox, and you get to a team that's going to be in contention all year like the Brewers, and you don't have to be the star. You just have to be a guy. There's a lot of other guys that are the stars on that team, and so they put Andrew in to be just another guy who can hit line drives. And they told him, don't be anybody else but yourself, and go out there and forget everything that happened to you. You've hit your whole life. You know you're going to be able to hit, so go out and do it. And he hit .308 with the Brewers. I'm not sure exactly how many games it was, 48 games, something along those lines.
64 games. 64 games, .308 and .375 on base.
Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive, and I like the fact that they gave him the opportunity. They put him into a meaningful spot in the batting order where he could drive in some runs, and he's able to do that. So I feel very, very happy for Andrew Vaughn. And, sometimes you get a break in this game, and you go from a team that's not going to win for a while to a team that's already knocking at the door. And that's what Andrew did when he went to Milwaukee.
Thank you so much, Steve. Great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Thanks, you, and have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you guys hopefully down the road. And you see, this is what happens when you call me in the wintertime when I don't have any games to do. So I'll talk to you guys later on.
Oh, we loved it. Oh, my God, that was Nirvana.
Oh, man.
I loved that so much.
Hey, Judson Richards is coming up after us at 6 o'clock. Good baseball talk with Judson. Lance Brzdowski is going to join him at 6:25.
I had to explain to my mother the amount of cheating that one could do from behind the plate. And she was like, that's what you were doing? It's like, yeah. Because I was explaining how you could doctor the ball for your pitcher.
And then throw it back out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, catchers are also friends to the dental community.
Sure, the dental community, the lubrication community,
well,
whatever you need.
Certain catchers more friendly than others.
She's like, I can't believe that you were cheating. I thought baseball was a game of honor. I was like, no, that's golf. Baseball has always been about cheating and will always be about cheating. Oh, God, that was so good. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back.
Oh! my God.
It's 1-1.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
It's kind of like giving up a three-run homer after you score a three-run homer.
The Blackhawks, like, scored, and then Florida came right back.
Yeah, no, that, and who scored for Florida? Andrew Vaughn, amazingly
enough.
He
did not. Although Seth Jones scored a lot for them last year, and he got himself a ring. And Blackhawks fans are not real happy about that either.
They're playing an actual hockey game.
They are, right now.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are.
Yeah, okay. It's fine.
They're in season.
We're going to talk about a football game, though. Mark Grody's got a great Bears report for us at 5 o'clock. Let's talk about last night next here on The Score.
First,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up. Breaks a tackle. Touchdown, Jackson Bay. Jaguars back on top. There was a holding call against the Chiefs in the end zone. And Trevor Lawrence, there were some mistakes made on that possession, but Manning made some big-time throws. And how about that run?
There was no timeouts remaining for Jacksonville, so when he goes down, if he's tackled there, they're going to have to hurry to get to the line to get the clock stopped. He was able to score. Oh, man.
Highlights courtesy of ESPN ABC, our buddy Joe Buck and our buddy Troy Aikman on the call of Monday Night Football. And Speaks, like we were talking about with Matt Bowen.
Yo.
That was another drive that was set up by bad special teams play. Kansas City kicks the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. So Jacksonville gets the ball at the 40.
And then it just doesn't take that much in order to get where you need to get. To get into scoring range. I keep thinking also about when we had Kurt Warner on yesterday. Is that yesterday?
And yeah, it was yesterday.
It feels like a long
the
time
Cubs
ago.
The Cubs game made it feel like we're into Thursday.
Really did. It's very true. But we asked him, like, hey, is Pat Mahomes still the best quarterback in the NFL? And he stopped and paused a little bit. That's a rough pick six, man. That is a rough pick six to cost your team. And we've seen a while now the desperation that's setting in for Pat because they don't explode and dominate like they used to.
14-point swing right there on that play. And you start going, wait, because everything looked right. Yesterday, Kelce was out there doing stuff, and Patrick's making plays with his feet and with his arm, and then it started to roll back the other way, and people are still stuck on whether or not Trevor Lawrence is that dude. And he made some plays last night where you're like, man, I remember that guy at Clemson. Like, that's the guy that's doing a little bit of everything and is in command and in control of everything going on. And that play at the end is just insane.
Yeah, it's a legendary. The stumble bum, the unintentional stumble bum.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be able to fall down twice in the pocket and get up and move.
So you said it earlier. It's nice to be watching that game last night and say, oh, yeah. Next Monday night will be the Bears.
Yeah, it's right up there for you. Threw it up in the corner. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
Scene of the crime time.
Uh-huh. And a team that's 2-2 coming off a bye with good vibes. We'll see how long they last in that game, but it should be good storylines and excitement and some positivity headed into that one.
You're right about Debo. I think that his yards per attempt, he's in the top 10 right now. And he's got 3 receiving touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown.
That's a really good weapon to add to that mix.
Dangerous. But the Bears are back. They're back at Halas Hall. Mark Grody is back at Halas Hall, too. There's a Bears hit coming your way with sound from people up at Halas. Next, here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.